Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word. Please join us now as we hear a message from Pastor Toledo.
Please open with me to the book of James, James chapter 1. We are looking at part 2 of a little mini-series that we started last week, titled, Can You Hear Me Now? And I felt led by the Lord to take a couple weeks to talk about the all-important topic of communication. Communication, as I mentioned last week, if you were here, is literally the lifeline of all relationships. It's the lifeline of every family. And God is a communicator, and when we communicate, if we do it in a godly way, we are really bearing the image of God. How many know God wants to connect with his people? How many would say amen? And I believe that not only is communication the key to our relationships, but in a lot of ways, as I've been thinking about this, I really believe that communication is the key in many cases to our destiny. You see, there are moments in time when you need to connect with someone and communicate with someone, and it's going to impact your future. People don't realize that when we fail to communicate or when we don't communicate well, you know, because of time, there are a lot of illustrations that we left out, but literally wars have taken place over poor communication. All sorts of tragic things have taken place. All sorts of incredible opportunities were missed because of poor communication or the absence of communication. And so last week we talked about the source of communication. What is the source of communication? It's the heart. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. That's what the Bible says. But today we're going to be looking at something different. And I want to go to the book of James now and highlight some very important principles that are found in communication. It says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Okay, every time you read the Bible, you should take note of it, but this is a double emphasis. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You know what? Let's read that together. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, now I want to pause here. Look at me for a second. Okay, I'm going to be talking about certain keys to communication, and this is the last key, but this is directly connected to last week. And I want you to see how the Bible says scripture interprets scripture. I want you to see how the Bible connects truths. Last week we talked about that whatever is in the heart is key to good communication. Now here he's talking about communication, different author, but the same Holy Spirit inspiring the word of God. And it says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And right in context with good communication, and I could have used this text last week, he talks about get rid of everything that is not good in your heart, because when your heart is not right, how many know we talked about it last week, when your heart is not right, you don't communicate right. Okay, so we could have just put these first two verses, 19 and 20, but I wanted to bridge back to last week from verse 21 here, and this talks about the importance of having a clean heart. A clean heart is very, very important for the purpose of communication. Now, we're going to pray in a moment. I want to put up a quick quote that I came across that I believe is so powerful, and then we're going to pray. It says, because you can hear doesn't mean that you listen. Because you can talk doesn't mean that you can communicate. Hearing is an acoustical phenomenon that takes place in our ears. Listening is always an interpersonal experience between two people. Talking is a sound we make with our mouths and our vocal cords. Communication is a dialogue between two people. Communication takes place when two hearts open up to receive. Okay, and so today the title of my message are the keys to communication. And I actually brought a key with me. Everybody look up here, we're gonna pray. This is the key to one of our church vans, okay? This was kind of the biggest key that we can find. And all of us carry keys, and keys are very important. How do you know without the keys to the car, you got issues, right? How do you know if unless you don't lock your doors, but you must not live in Chicago, how do you know that without a key, you can't get into your house? Keys represent the opening of a door. Okay? Keys represent the opening of the door. And what I want to talk about, okay, is the opening up of the door of someone's heart. Remember, as image bearers of Christ, if you're going to reach someone, you have to reach their heart. It takes a lot of wisdom in life. We have to follow the Word of God. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to communicate well. We're living in a day that people are so angry. So much is being said and so little is being heard. Lots of noise, very little connection. And I want to pray, this day and age needs anointed communicators. This day and age requires that when we are on post in our lives, that we are ready to be the voice of God. How many want to be the voice of God? Hallelujah. The Bible says, let them that speak, speak as the oracles of God. And we can be the voice of God. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And we want tongues that are anointed from on high. Isaiah talks about the instructed tongue that sustains the weary. So this is not a TED talk. Okay? This is not keys to better communication so you could advance your corporate life. We're talking about being an instrument of the Most High God. In every sense of the word, wherever we are, wherever we're called to speak for the glory of God. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and we thank you for this time. And God, I ask that you would bless your word. You have given us your word because you want to communicate with us. And every time we open your word, Lord, you are trying to communicate with us. And God, I pray that you would make us like you because we were made in your image. And I ask, oh God, that you would do something in our lives, God, that will launch us out, oh Lord, and that we would make a difference, Lord, first in our homes, and then wherever you send us, Lord, for your glory and for your honor. God, make us like Samuel. You said that none of his words fell to the ground. Make our words heavy, make them weighty, make them edifying and encouraging, oh God, and make them God glorifying. God, we thank you and we trust you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. So we're going to look at the keys that open the doors to people's hearts. Now, the first thing that this passage of Scripture teaches us is that the first key to to communication is actually a listening ear. The first key to communication is actually not communicating, but listening. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone, quick to listen. Quick to listen means that our ears open faster than our mouths. Most people, their mouths fly open faster than their ears. We live in a day when people are quick to debate. They're quick to just say whatever is in their head. Communication is a two-way street that flows best when we respond after we listen. Listening doesn't mean that we wait until somebody is finished talking. You learn that early on when you get married and you're having intense fellowship. You know what you're doing, right? You're just waiting for them to finish talking. And then you have to grow up, you know? If you want to be a good communicator, you have to grow up. You have to mature in the godly sense. Okay? We shouldn't respond until we're sure that we heard what the other person has said. And if you fail to listen, what you really do is you create a communication traffic jam. Blah, 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 blah. Nobody's hearing anything. Okay? Now I'm telling you guys, I know that that this comes up from time to time and people talk about communication, but this is your life. I mean, this is a game changer in your life. This makes or breaks who you are. It makes or breaks, it determines the quality of your relationships. This literally determines the quality of your life. And so I can't emphasize this enough. How do you know if you're really listening? You know that you're really listening when you know what the other person means as well as what they've said. You ever say something and then you didn't mean it? How many have ever said something that you didn't mean? Okay? When you're communicating and you're doing it in a godly way, part of what happens is that you take the time to make sure that you hear what they mean rather than what they just said, because sometimes it doesn't come out right. How many would appreciate a little grace when you're communicating? You see? Here's the other thing. Listening is one of the chief validators of any relationship. When you listen to someone, you validate them. When you hear someone out, you're giving them value. When you refuse to listen to someone, and that's why if you're a poor listener here, first of all, you're a very poor communicator. But secondly, communication means connection. You're not a good connector. I can tell you right now, if you don't listen to people well, you're not a good connector. Why? Because you don't connect with people that you talk at. You connect to people that you hear. You know, it takes two people to connect. A lot of people, they're great talkers, and they think, I'm a great talker, I'm a great communicator. Well, that's not true. You're a great connector, which makes you a great communicator, if you're good at listening. This is very important. Look at what the Bible says, Proverbs 18:13. This is very, very powerful. It says, to answer before listening. Everyone, let's read these words. That is folly and shame. That is folly and shame. Here's one of the things that we pastors talk about this all the time. You know, when someone comes into our office, many times they have heard they're coming into the pastor's office in many cases for the first time, and they're telling you a situation that as a pastor, if you have any kind of time in the pastorate, there comes a point where you've heard virtually every story. Once in a while, there's a special kind of doozy. You say, that one I never heard. Okay? But in many cases, someone will come in, they're meeting with the pastor, and they're very uptight. This is serious to them, and we respect that, okay? But we've heard it before. See, but one of the things that we do is we discipline ourselves to wait and to hear. okay? We want to hear. And when you hear, like I said, this is such a huge topic, I could talk to you for like 3 hours about this. When you hear, you have to hear not just what the person says, you have to hear what they don't say. You have to hear not just what they don't say, but you have to hear what's in their spirit, because sometimes people can't get out what's in their spirit. And so just because you've heard it before doesn't mean you know what's going on. You have to listen. How many want fresh grace to become a good listener? Amen? Listen to what Stephen Covey said. He said, most people do not listen with the intent to understand, but with the intent to reply. This is the gist of it right here. You know? So in our Instagram age, where we want to put our best foot forward, it's incredible to watch people dynamics when people meet. People are waiting to put their best foot forward, and half the time they're not even listening. They're like, okay, you finished, now let me say. How many know it takes humility to communicate with people? You just gotta, shh. Which brings us to the second point, which is if we're gonna be good communicators, the second key is we need a humble spirit, okay? We need a humble spirit. Everyone should be quick to listen. Now everyone, slow to speak. All right? Now, slow to speak is different from listening. Okay? Okay? It means that you're slow to reply, but you got to listen first, because what is happening here is you are processing what is coming from someone's heart and mind and mouth, okay? So here's what slow to speak means. Slow to speak means that our mouths are tamed by our humility and our eagerness to hear. It takes a humble and teachable spirit to hold your tongue. Here's what humility does. Humility clears the way for true communication. And guys, listen to this. It's very important. Do you know what kills communication? It's pride. When someone is not slow to speak, it means that they are what? Proud. Pride says that person is not worthy of being heard. Humility says, I want to receive everything that that person has to say to me. Pride says, what I have to say is what's most important. Listen, pride is a communication wrecker because it denies the need to hear. It denies the need to hear. The minute you walk out of church today, you will have an opportunity to put this into play. The minute you walk out, even before you walk out of here, okay? We're talking about being godly. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about being godly. Godly people have a humble spirit so that they can take the time to hear what's in the other person's heart. Listen to this. The best listeners have the best replies. And so, one of the challenges, like today's Father's Day, right? And one of the things that makes a good father is that he communicates. You know? So look at this. The Bible says everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. But here's what it doesn't mean. Slow to speak doesn't mean that you never speak. It means that you're slow to speak. It means that you take the time to reply. They got ahead of me. This is the last point. What it means is that I really want to crack a joke about listening back there, but sorry, guys. Come on, let's give them a hand, all the work they do. See, that was fast to speak right there. Shouldn't have done it. can't help it. Help me, Lord, I need. That's why you know leaders need to practice what they preach, right? So here's the thing. Slow to speak means that you do speak. If you're the kind of person that doesn't speak, you have to realize that silence is destructive. Silence destroys families. Silence destroys relationships. Silence destroys opportunities. You know, silence, it just wrecks all kinds of things. So it doesn't mean that we don't speak. We are called, how many know we are called to speak? It's God's will for us to share what he's put on our hearts. And yes, we hear, we're humble, but let me tell you something. After you have received, how many know it's time to talk? And we're living in a day, well, you know, it's funny. I got a ticket the other day. I was going 1 mile over the speed limit and they got me. And no, just a little more than that. And it was so funny because I debated, how do I handle this? And because I've seen people get stopped by a police officer, and just have the right thing to say, and then they got over. So the last time I decided to say nothing. It's like, you know you're going fast. Well, yes, sir. Okay, went back, gave me the ticket. You know, I didn't even try. You ever like speak up and get the break and you're like, hallelujah, I'm so glad I said something. Do you realize how many things slip away, how many opportunities slip away if we don't talk? Hey, guys, you'll never get the girl if you don't open your mouth. How many would say amen? Okay? You'll never get the girl, okay? So how many of you got to speak? Somebody was telling me that there's some kind of rapper producer who sends these things out and says major keys. Guys, that's a major key right there, okay? You got to speak. Be slow to speak, but speak. Oh, my goodness, how children are affected. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. The reason we're slow to speak is because we want to say the godly thing. But when we're ready to say the godly thing, how many know we need to say it? We need to say it. And usually when we talk about marriage, I pull out a little fact and figure. Do you know, on average, men speak 12,000 words a day. On average, women speak 25,000 words a day. By the time a man gets home from work, he's already spoken his 12,000. Hence, all of the communication challenges in marriage. Because when he gets home, his wife is just, she just hit midstream. See? She's at 12,000. Now she's ready. Now she's in third gear, ready to go. And there's a lot of wisdom required when it comes to the whole slow to speak concept. Because on one side, we have to remember that a lot of words don't make better communication. So how many of you, sometimes less is more. All the brothers said, amen. But how many know that sometimes more is necessary? All the sisters said, amen. Sometimes more is necessary. And we have to pay attention to this. We have to pay attention to this because it literally makes us like God or not like God. It makes us strong image bearers or image bearers that are not so strong. An anointed conversation can change a kid's life. Dawn, raise your hand. Dawn Labadi, she's just come on staff. She's been on staff for about a year. And she was teaching at a unique type of school before she has her degree in teaching. And she was invited to go back, and she was the commencement speaker, is that the right way to say that? And so we were talking to her how the Lord really blessed it as she went and spoke to the kids, and the kids really loved her because she's not a great talker, she's a connector, you see? So she told us a story about one of the kids who socially didn't have a lot of grace. And if you went right past, you could think that this kid was maybe not a good learner, not a lot of things. But she realized this kid is actually brilliant. He's not slow. This kid is brilliant. And she encouraged him and she spoke into his life. Listen, slow to speak, but speak with power. She spoke into his life. She said, "You are brilliant. You are this. You are that. You are all these things." And he took his ACT score through the roof, and he's actually going to start at Northwestern in this coming fall. And one anointed teacher can change the destiny. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we need anointed teachers in our city. Help us, Lord. But see, we need anointed neighbors. We need anointed coworkers. We need people who can speak life. But watch, look at God's order, and then we got one more point, and then we'll close. Watch. Okay, everyone should be, first of all, quick to listen, open ears. If Dawn didn't look into that soul of that child, if she didn't take the time to hear what was really in him, she could have missed it. You see? Quick to listen, number one. Number two, slow to speak. Why? Because you think you have the right answer. How many know our right answer is very different from God's right answer? God has an answer. There's a God solution, okay? Part of the problem is that we think that we're so smart and we know so much that we're not making space to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say. You guys missed a prayer meeting. I got one more point. We'll close momentarily. But you guys missed a prayer meeting that we had, or some of you missed a prayer meeting that we had a couple weeks ago. We invited a guest speaker, Pastor Ed Peacher. And so his church is it's in the south side in a really rough area. And I ran into him a couple weeks ago. I said, "You got to come and tell your story." So he was telling us how with all the shootings, all the gang activities, I don't know, Chicago's going crazy. They're shooting all sorts. So what is the solution? Do you realize that there is a God solution? So listen to this. So he was praying, and the Lord spoke to him. And he felt his spirit was like, "We can't let this happen." And so the Lord spoke to him and said, "I want you to go out to find out what the toughest corner is and go stake that claim that land for me." And so you know what he did? He went to the police. He said, "What is your hottest spot and what are your worst hours?" They told him, "It's such and such a street, such and such an intersection, and between from 9 to to 4 in the morning or 2 in the morning, that's when it's the worst. That's when all kinds of crazy things happen. So he got a crew of people from his church, and they went there and got there like 9 o'clock. And they started to they took a boombox with them. They started playing Christian music, and they started to worship God and praise God. And the gang people were like driving by and going, "What is this?" and driving off and coming in and going out. And then like one of the gang leaders like rolled up and said, "Who are you?" And he didn't know who he was, but he spoke to him boldly. He said, "My church is right there. I'm a servant of the Most High God." How many know sometimes it's the time to speak? And I'm here, and we're here, and we're claiming this corner for the glory of God. The guy got in his car and took off. Then somebody who knew who that was says, "Do you know who that was? That's the leader of such and such a gang." Off he went, on and on. This started to go on, okay? And in another 2 or 3 weeks, they went out there. There were like 25 gang members there. And it became very intimidating. They're like, "Oh, so that's how we're going to do it." So the Lord spoke to him. He said, "Okay, it's time to break out communion." So they got communion out, and they took communion right there on that street corner. And by the time they were finished with the representative blood and body of Christ, all of the gang leaders had just cleared out and gone. And here's the thing. So all of the police leaders who were over that particular area, even though crime is going up everywhere, right there, crime, all of those guys, they just keep getting promoted. They keep getting promoted. And you know why? Because in their, let's say, section, crime is going down. Okay? Even over the Memorial Day weekend, there were 69 shootings. But in their section, you know how many shootings? Zero shootings. Why do I tell you that story? You know why I tell you that story? I tell you that story because someone took the time to hear the God reply. You see, there are God solutions. And we can rail at this and rail at that, and we rail at people and rail at this and rail at that. But you know what we need? We need people that are slow to speak, because when we're slow to speak, the Bible says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying." How many want God to give you an ear that gives you the God reply? Amen? Hallelujah. Now, here's the last key, and then we're going to close with this. And remember, this is a big deal because this opens doors. I want you to personalize this message today. I want you to think about relationship challenges and situational challenges in your life, okay? Maybe you're not using the keys that the Holy Spirit really wants to give you. It's a big deal, guys. All right, the last one is, the last key is a peaceable spirit. Now, a lot of times this is what trips up. When you talk about difficult things, you need a peaceable spirit. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and everyone, slow to become angry. Slow to become angry. All right, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. How many people here have a bad temper? Don't raise your hand. Okay. Okay. If you have a bad temper, and if you communicate with a bad temper, okay, you're missing out on God's will and God's way. It's like there are doors that you're frustrated that you want open, but you don't have the key. The Bible says, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. It'll never be accomplished, okay? Now, that doesn't mean that every once in a while someone needs to be rebuked. We pastors have to rebuke people. The Bible says rebuke and exhort with all authority. Sometimes a stern word is necessary, but even a rebuke should be never given in anger. Anger is not the purpose of it. The purpose of it is, it says, rebuke them harshly so that they won't stray from the faith. Sometimes someone needs a stiff word, okay, so that they won't go off because they're so blinded by what they're doing that unless you shock them with some intense wording, you know, they won't get it. But see, the spirit of it, it cannot be anger. The spirit of it can't be anger. Some people, see, here's what the essence of it is. Some, you see this all in our political landscape. Some people, they get so angry because someone else's opinion is different. Just because someone else's opinion is different than yours, that doesn't mean you have to be angry with them. Can I get an amen? How many know we should speak that word into our political landscape right now? It's incredible how angry people are with each other. And by the way, as Christians, remember, don't trust in princes. Okay? This is a great country. Let's exercise our right to vote. But whoever gets voted in, how many know we're looking way higher than that? We're looking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. But differing when there's something difficult, why is this third key there? The third key is there because sometimes we have to talk about hard stuff. And by the way, your communication is pretty weak if you can only talk about the easy stuff. If all you can talk about is the weather and the how the Cubs did, and nice and light and fluffy stuff. How many know you're not a God communicator? We got to be able to talk about the hard stuff. I believe, I sincerely believe this, guys, that the reason why so many families are so weak is because people don't mature enough to talk about the hard stuff. Parents don't have the emotional strength and energy to talk about the hard stuff with their kids. As kids are growing up, there's a time to talk about the birds and the bees, you know? Okay, when my son was like 5 years old, Kobe Bryant got caught with another woman. Kobe Bryant was my son's favorite basketball player, and there was all this stuff on the news, and my son wanted to know, Dad, what went down? I was like, oh, snap, it's time to talk about the birds and the bees. You know, there's a time to say to someone, you are headed in the wrong direction. The Bible says, speaking the truth in love, we will grow up. Hard things need to be talked about. Hard things need to be talked about in marriage. Man, this feels like a giant counseling session today, not like a preaching. But that's all right. That's all right. This is good. This is good food for your soul and for your family. How many would say amen? Okay? If your marriage is in trouble, you have to communicate. If you're not connecting to your spouse, do whatever it takes to communicate. And remember the first two keys. Slow to speak, quick to listen. It's amazing how many things happen. But see, if you don't have a peaceable spirit, if you don't have the kind of spirit that says, I want peace, you have to want peace. Look, when Christy and I were first, when we first got married, the Lord asked me a question. It's so funny. There's a lot of things I wish the Lord would talk to me about, like voices. But I think that for the most part, those voices came in about the first 3 years of my marriage. And God had a lot of things to say to me, you know. One of the things that the Lord said to me once was, what price are you willing to pay to be right? How much of a price? Because sometimes when we feel like we're right, we're like willing to go to the grave over it, you know? How many know some things, even we, you know, you just don't agree, but how do you know you shouldn't go to the grave over it? I heard Warren Wiersbe say once that he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back before the tribulation. There's different takes on the tribulation, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. I heard Tony Evans say the other day, I'm going pre-trib. If you don't go there with me, I'll see you on the other side. I'm going before all the craziness breaks out, right? It's crazy enough already, right? Here's what Warren Wiersbe said, though. He said, I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. He said, but I won't go to jail for it. Somebody says, deny Christ, it says, I have to go to jail for that. But you have to understand, a peaceable spirit can discern, okay, what is important and what is not so important. You know, how many know the colors of the curtain are not that important? You know, how many know what you eat, you know, tonight for dinner is not that important, okay? You know, whether you put sofrito or not sofrito. You know, there's a lot of things that we don't have a peaceable spirit. Listen to what the Bible says, and we'll close with this. It says, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. So here's the last thing I'll say, and then we're going to close. Okay, last thing I'll say is this, is if you have an explosive temper when it comes to communication, you know what you're doing, right? You're exalting foolishness. I got one amen. Amen! I'm going to go ahead and hit my amen button over there. You know, I was praying, here's what I was praying. I was praying that the next time we find ourselves in a potential argument, that the words of this sermon will come right into your spirit. You know? That they would come right into your spirit and you would think about what is really going on here. How many know we can communicate with great wisdom? And when we communicate wisdom, our spirit is peaceable. Let's lift our hands to Him. We're gonna begin to worship God right now and ask Him to breathe on us. I know that this is a different kind of message, but listen, there are people here who are missing out on opportunities because they don't communicate in a godly way. There are people here whose marriages are being wrecked, whose relationships are being stunted because we're so full of anger. Let's release our anger. There, all life and death is in the power of the tongue. There are so many people here who are not as effective. I want to pray that God would make us effective for His glory. But we need to become anointed communicators. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless You today. We bless You. We worship You, Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, our lives are only as rich and as blessed as our relationships. Lord, even our usefulness comes through the way we connect with people. And God, we come today in the name of Jesus. And God, we ask, oh Lord, that we would become the kind of image bearers that bring You glory and honor and praise. God, we recognize today that we need, oh Lord, the ear that hears what the Spirit is saying. And Father, we begin today by asking us, oh God, to be the kind of people that are quick to listen. God, not just to people who are talking to us, but to you, Lord. God, we pray that you would make us quick to listen and slow to speak, oh God. God, we ask that you would make us anointed communicators, oh God. God, we ask that with the help of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that our lives would change because we begin to speak life, oh God, and not death. And we will speak life because we take the time to hear what the Spirit would say. Father, we ask that you would give us a peaceable spirit. God, I pray for peace over every home. I pray for peace over every marriage. I pray for peaceful relationships between children and their parents, oh God. I pray that children would appreciate, oh God, the wisdom that parents want to bring to them, oh God. Give our children ears to hear, oh Lord. Help them to recognize that the Spirit is speaking very often through their parents, God. But Lord, today, Father, as we go from this place, Lord, we are asking you to anoint us. Lord, we want to take advantage of every opportunity to speak and bring you glory and honor. God, I pray that people would experience your blessing. Your word says, by the fruit of a man's lips, he shall be blessed, oh God. And Father, today, Lord, even on Father's Day, we lift up every man, oh God, in this room. And God, we pray that you would make us anointed communicators for your glory, for your honor. Anoint every father, oh God, to speak, oh God, the word of the Lord, oh Lord. God, we want people to hear from you every time we open up our mouths. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time, and God, we ask that you would help us to apply your word immediately to our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Come on, let's give God a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, take a few moments now and greet one another before you go. God bless you. Happy Father's Day once again to all of the dads.